We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around. And this makes us special among the nations of the earth.
Enter the new dimension of political talk.
Indeed, I did have a relationship with Ms. Lewinsky that was not appropriate. In fact, it was wrong.
We will make no distinction between the terrorists who committed these acts and those who harbored them.
Current events, politics, entertainment. The Current Podcast is on now.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of The Current, episode 98, Sunday, June 1st, 2008. I'm Jacob Bodner.
And I am Logan Sparrow.
Hope you all had a wonderful, wonderful week.
Absolutely.
We graduate today, officially.
We do.
During 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have to be there at 5, though.
Yeah.
Check in,
yeah.
Stand in line for an hour.
That'll be fun.
Oh, God. Gag me. We went to practice. We just got back from practice. We practiced standing up and sitting down.
Yeah.
I think 6 or 7 times.
As it turns out, all the things that we learn in high school, standing and sitting appropriately wasn't one of them.
It doesn't, you know, despite popular belief, it does not all culminate when you graduate. It is all standing up and sitting down. If you got that down, you can graduate officially.
Absolutely.
We do have a lot to talk about today.
Absolutely. Wonderful.
Big.
It's always good to have a big agenda.
Late. We've got quite a bit to talk about in the 2008 presidential update. Of course, Puerto Rico votes to, I believe it's Puerto Rico today. There's a primary today. It is Puerto Rico, but like, who cares? Puerto Rico, whatever.
Yeah. It's not going to swing anything. You know?
Well, yeah, because what happened was, actually, there's some breaking news that I haven't scheduled into the show. One is that the Democrats decided that they're going to give half votes to the delegates of Michigan and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll be seated at the delegation, but they'll only get half votes. So Clinton picks up like 87.5 votes in Florida and something. Nothing that's really going to help her win.
Right.
She's pretty ticked off. She's apparently going to appeal and probably try to take it to the convention.
Oh, now what does this remind me of? In a way, at least. Al Gore's recounts.
Yes, it does.
He knows he can't win, but let's just keep going.
Let's try anyway.
Recount, so, appeal, appeal.
It's ridiculous. It's like, just give it up. You're not going to win. Just stop. Get ready for 2000 whatever. You know, when you might have to do it again.
Yeah.
And let's all go on our merry way. It's just, you know, it's fun to watch.
Better set your daughter up for it, like we were talking about on the last episode.
They want to do that, And then the other breaking news was that Barack Obama finally quit his church, the crazy Trinity Church, after we had The Right Stuff come out, which is a song.
Isn't
I was thinking about downloading it and playing it. We had The Right Stuff come out, and then we had the Catholic priest who went in and was talking about, and he's actually white, and was talking about Hillary Clinton.
Talking Clinton. Yeah.
Bastard.
You see, now, the interesting thing, I think that we need to thank Barack Obama for finally catching on.
Yeah, no
his
kidding.
His priest was a nut job.
Yeah.
Because, as Barack Obama said, and I believe him, after 20-something years of going to this church, he'd never heard anything like it. It's stupid.
And, you know,
he's finally started to realize that it's hurting him, so he's leaving. He's a publicist.
It's a political thing. I mean, when you're running for president, you have to do – everything you do has to be calculated as in the eyes of the public, how this is going to hurt you or help you in the media. Of course, in Barack Obama's sake, nothing hurts him in the media. The media loves him. But you know, he had to quit. If he doesn't quit, then if something else happens, it's pinned on him. Now if something else happens, I quit. I don't know. Pin this on me. I don't care. Yeah. I quit.
Now, place your bets.
Yeah, this will be our point.
When he loses the presidency, or after his presidency, depending on if he wins or loses, $20 says he goes back.
Well, I don't know. Well, that's in Chicago, though. He's not going to be living in Chicago. He probably just won't go to church anymore. Become a heathen. Worship Satan. And hang out with Fidel. And
we have more on that
later. But yeah, we do have we'll start off with McCain.
Yeah. Who is the obvious choice.
Yeah. Here. Oh, I got a McCain bumper sticker in the mail yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah. I don't even know why, because I haven't donated to his campaign or anything. Oh. It was just like, hey, I'm John McCain. Here's a bumper sticker. So
I want a John McCain bumper
sticker. It was really sweet. It was black and circular. All right? So I put it on the back of my car right above the taillight.
Right.
And I'm driving through Ann Arbor, and of course you have the eyes like, whoa,
Republican.
Yeah. So it was that night where it was really bad rain. It just poured rain. I go into my car on Saturday morning, and the bumper sticker has not fallen off, but it was all wet and didn't stick anymore.
Wow.
I was like, what kind of crap bumper sticker are you giving me? I'm not voting for you anymore because you gave me a bumper sticker that does not stick to my car.
I don't care about the fact that I didn't pay for it.
No. Well, that's probably why. Yeah,
there you go. He gave you the cheap one.
Yeah.
Are you sure it was a bumper sticker, not like a shirt sticker?
No, it said on the envelope, bumper sticker inside.
Huh.
A shirt sticker. It was huge. It was like this big.
Interesting.
Who would put a huge sticker on my chest like
I
that?
I would.
Well, whatever. Anyways, so John McCain made a brilliant political move in my estimation. He sharply criticized Democratic rival Barack Obama for not having been to Iraq since 2006, all right? It's like 840 days, some ridiculous thing. And said that they should visit the war zone together. He said, come on, Barack. If you're Mr. Bipartisan, Hold My Hand, you come over to Iraq with me, we'll meet with Petraeus, we'll visit the war zone, we'll see the progress,
right.
And then we can go from there.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, quote, look at what happened in the last 2 years since Senator Obama visited and declared the war lost, the GOP nominee-in-waiting told the Associated Press in an interview, noting that the Illinois senator's last trip to Iraq came before the military buildup that is credited with curbing violence. He really has no experience or knowledge or judgment about the issue of Iraq, and he has wanted to surrender for a long time, the Arizona senator added. If there was any other issue before the American people, and you hadn't had anything to do with it in a couple of years, I think the American people would judge that very harshly.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah,
brilliant political move, because if the guy goes, awesome. He meets with Petraeus, he sees it building up, he can't come back and say, well, I still think the surge didn't work, which he said in the beginning. If he doesn't go, he's like, well, whoa, you're going to meet with Iran's president, but you're not going to meet with General Petraeus.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to go over there. Well, he didn't. He declined the offer.
Yep.
He said, we're not going to be part of this political stunt, which kind of was, but that's not the point. I mean, the point is to go over there.
Yeah, it's a political stunt that makes sense.
It's a political. Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's only if you're going to be the president, you know, it would be advised that you go over and observe
exactly.
the responsibilities going that you're going to take over.
Yeah.
You know, job shadowing. You know, everybody does that, okay?
Yeah. So he declines, and he said his campaign did come out and say, we're going to have a foreign policy tour after I win the nomination, and I may make it to Iraq.
That's kind of a big one to make it
to. Yeah, that's kind of a big one to miss. Yeah. If you're going to have a foreign policy tour,
maybe
half of it should be in Iraq.
100,000 plus soldiers right now. That would be one to get out to.
Where else are you going to go?
Yeah.
Okay, you go to the Soviet Union or Soviet Union, Russia. Excuse me. I still like to call it the Soviet Union. We have this map right here that still labels it as a Soviet Union. That's
the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics.
We go to you go to Russia. You go to where you can go to the easy places like
China.
The cliche
France.
Places. Yeah.
Yeah. Who goes there anymore?
But. You wouldn't go to Iraq. We might make it there. Okay, this isn't Burger King on the way home from work, all right? This is probably the biggest foreign policy
this
thing.
This is work.
Right, yeah.
This is work.
Exactly.
Okay.
Oh, we might make it. And they said that, if we make it there, we would only go there and talk about withdrawing the troops.
Oh,
well, that's a real morale booster.
Yeah.
You guys are doing a great job over here. Now let's talk when we get the hell out of here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to give up. When I become president,
right.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Now... Just to highlight, for those of you who don't know, which I'd imagine the majority of you do, McCain has made it to Iraq many times.
He bought a house in Baghdad.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I'm kidding.
But he's there. I mean, it just seems like you turn on the news just about every day is something about McCain in Iraq. You know, he's over there quite often.
Yes.
And he's always kept up with meetings with Petraeus. All right, so McCain knows what he's talking about. You know, he's meeting with the top dog over there. Our wonderful general, General Petraeus, who's a distinguished person, and I think that you said it earlier. It's almost insulting that Barack Obama says, "Hey, I'll meet with Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and terrorist people and this and that and that and people that refuse to believe that Israel exists." But I'm not going to meet with Petraeus.
Yeah, he says, and he agreed. People forget this. People remember that he agreed to meet with Ahmadinejad without precondition. That's one thing people remember from that question. There were two other parts of that question. One was, in your first year.
Mm-hmm.
The second part was, anywhere, not necessarily Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two big things. So he basically said, hey, we'll have a powwow anywhere in the world in my first year, but I'm not going to go meet with Petraeus before I win the nomination or when I'm in contention to win the nomination. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make... I mean, he's going to be meeting with Petraeus quite a bit if he gets into office.
Mm-hmm.
There may not be pleasant meetings, but he's going to meet with him quite a bit. So he better get used to it.
Mm-hmm.
All right? He's going to have to go over to Iraq. It's not going to be, oh, I'll make it over there maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to have to go over there.
I've personally heard people say, speaking on this issue, why meet with Petraeus now? You know, he can't do anything. He's not the president. Well, it's just like a job, okay? if I go to get a job, I'm out of college, whatever, one of the things that's heavily, heavily, heavily advisable that you do before you get an interview is do a little research.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find out what you're doing, what you're working with before you get the job.
Yeah.
It's not very productive to become the president and say, all right, now I'm the president. Now let me spend the first year learning everything.
Yeah.
When you should be doing that now, and it's exactly what McCain is doing. He's going out, he's learning, he's gathering information, yep. so he knows what he can do or what he should do when he gets in office.
Yeah. And remember, McCain's been in the Senate for 20 yep. years. The yep. guy knows how to do this. He's dealt with, what would that have been, four presidents-ish? It would have been Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and Bush.
Yeah.
So he knows how this works.
Yeah.
So it's not like he's just going to have to jump in there and, you know, read the presidential manual and figure everything right. out.
Yep.
Speaking of Obama, Obama's making a lot of gaffes lately. You know, he stopped in a couple places. He stopped somewhere in Florida. He stopped in Sunrise, Florida, and called it Sunshine, Florida several times.
Mm-hmm.
He stopped someplace in South Dakota and mispronounced the name. Mm-hmm. He went to Mount Rushmore, and if you've ever seen the movie, it's the Alfred Hitchcock movie, North by Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old movie. There's a scene where they're crawling up Mount Rushmore.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets to Mount Rushmore, and he asks the ranger, gee, how did they get up there to film? Mm-hmm. And the ranger says, well, they used a movie set. oh, yeah. So he's made a lot of missteps here lately. So,
and one thing I'd like to just right onto this story say is, you know, you always hear Democrats opposed to Bush is so stupid. Listen to some of the things he says. He's so stupid. Why? He shouldn't be a president. I love Barack Obama,
yeah.
even though he says just as many dumb things as Bush does.
It's funny because it was Dan Quayle who spelled potato wrong.
Right.
Once, mm-hmm. and no one let him live it down.
Mm-hmm.
And, excuse me, Barack Obama has now, well, let's go move into the next one. This is a pretty big one. He says that his uncle liberated Auschwitz with the American Army.
So, you got one big historical inaccuracy there, Jacob.
Let's play the clip first.
Oh, we have a clip.
We'll play the clip of him saying it, and then we'll go over the many historical inaccuracies of it.
I had a uncle who was one of the who was part of the first American troops to go into Auschwitz and liberate the concentration camps. And the story in our family was that when he came home, he just went up into the attic, and he didn't leave the house for 6 months. Right? Now, obviously, something had really affected him deeply, but at that time, there just weren't the kinds of facilities to help somebody work through that kind of pain.
Okay, so Uncle Obama liberated Auschwitz.
Which, first off, we'll say this: Uncle Obama, soldier, respect him absolutely.
He oh, definitely, yeah.
All right, I don't respect Obama for saying this because he
lied. It's not true.
He lied.
Auschwitz wasn't liberated by the Americans.
No.
Liberated by the Soviets. It's not even in Germany. It was in Poland.
Right.
So, some problems there.
Yeah. Just a few.
Well, Obama came out and said, whoops, my bad.
Yep.
My bad.
Yep.
And I'm going to try to find the exact thing. I don't think I had it bookmarked. It wasn't, according to him, he didn't mean his uncle. He meant his great uncle. And he didn't mean Auschwitz. He meant some other camp.
Okay.
That's a pretty big screw up.
Of course. Wrong relative, wrong camp, wrong country. What does it matter? Okay, it's just a little inaccuracy.
It's all you know, water under the bridge.
Yeah,
exactly. Water under the bridge.
But going back to this, and just, you know, one Bush, yes, I will agree. I like him as a president. He said some stupid things. People criticize him for, oh, God, he's so stupid. How is he the president? He's so stupid. Well, guess what? Barack Obama has said so many, I think, at this rate, he's saying a lot more dumb things than Bush has, this far in.
Mm-hmm.
Bush has been the president for 8 years almost, and he said a handful of dumb things.
Mm-hmm.
Barack Obama, I don't think, is already that far off from saying that many dumb things.
And how many words do you think...
And he's not even the president yet.
How many words do you think President Bush speaks in a day? I mean, thousands upon thousands. All these press conferences.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But all you see are these little snippets that have been pulled.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Barack Obama, I'm telling you, every week I go plan for the show, it's something. It's two, three other things.
Yeah, and it's not a snippet. Each one's, you know, 30 seconds long. It's part of a speech.
It's a fake story.
But you know what? It's still all right, because only Barack Obama knows. He is the only one smart enough to know that there are actually 60 states in the country.
That's true.
57, one more
That's
to go,
true.
And he won't go to Alaska and Hawaii.
He don't like them. Too cold, too hot.
Yeah.
Not going either of those. We'll play one more clip of another misrepresentation from the Obama campaign. Famously brought, and then in this clip you'll hear, David Axelrod, Obama's top aide, I don't remember what his specific title, went on MSNBC, as all liberals do, and was talking about Barack Obama and his pre-surge beliefs. And he said, well, he's never denied the fact that adding more troops would help. And then they also play in this clip.
It's been opposed from the beginning.
Exactly. They also play in this clip his speech he gave, or the interview he gave in January, saying that if you add more troops, it won't make a difference because it's a civil war. I want to mention something. When has adding military not helped a civil war? Yeah, one, because it is a war.
Right.
Okay.
It's logic. You know, you can say quality over quantity, but quantity is a quality of its own. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll play the clip real quick. And then we will, we'll play the clip real quick, come back and go to commercial break. So here it is.
Do you know whether Senator Obama, given his position in the Senate on the Foreign Relations Committee, do you know whether he thinks there has been progress made in Iraq? Because anecdotal evidence would tell you people returning, soldiers returning from Iraq, people, non-governmental people who have been in Iraq, come back and say there actually has been progress made within the last year. Do you know what he thinks about that?
I think what he said is that there's been he never disputed the fact that if you throw a surge of American soldiers in an area, that you can make a difference.
We cannot impose a military solution on what has effectively become a civil war. And until we acknowledge that reality, we can send 15,000 more troops, 20,000 more troops, 30,000 more troops. I don't know any expert on the region or any military officer that I've spoken to privately that believes that is going to make a substantial difference on the situation on the ground.
He never disputed the fact that if you throw a surge of American soldiers in an area, that you can make a difference. But
we can send 15,000 more troops, 20,000 more troops, 30,000 more troops. I don't know any expert on the region or any military officer that I've spoken to privately that believes that is going to make a substantial difference on the situation on the ground.
Yeah. So
hypocrisy.
A little bit of a problem there.
Again, and what did he say? I haven't met with any officers who know, but and then he continued. Yeah,
you haven't met with
any officers because you're refusing to go to Iraq to meet.
He said he met with officers privately.
Oh, is that what he said?
His imaginary officers that he makes up in his head.
Yeah.
Let's say, withdraw.
It's Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. Did they provide you with fried chicken? Was it that? All right. We have got to hit a break. We're actually way over a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about why Barack Obama keeps getting endorsed by our enemies. Another big endorsement lined up for him after the break.
The new dimension of political talk. The Karen Podcast.
Are you a self-publishing author looking for a company to print your book? BrioPrint is the leader in soft and hardcover book printing. BrioPrint's book printing services are custom tailored to the unique needs of self-publishing authors. Whether it's a book of poetry or a full-color children's book, you can count on BrioPrint for great quality, great service, and great pricing. Order today and we'll warehouse your books for 3 months absolutely free. Go to brioprint.com or call 888-333-7979. BrioPrint is book printing made simple.
Before you get in that long line for coffee and pay another king's ransom for it, take note. Chances are the beans they use were roasted almost a year ago. Now, CafeVivo.com roasts your beans when you order them. That way it's guaranteed fresh. Every month you'll receive a new exotic coffee roasted when you order it. Order now at CafeVivo.com and receive a free coffee lover's gift. CafeVivo.com. CafeVivo.
I've never been so embarrassed.
It's a common problem.
I got turned down for a car loan.
A bad credit report can keep you from getting the things in your life you want and need.
A friend told me about LegacyLegal.com.
LegacyLegal.com can remove negative items on your credit reports, raise your credit scores, and get you back on track.
It was inexpensive and easy. LegacyLegal.com took care of everything. And I got my loan.
Get your free credit consultation at LegacyLegal.com.
Hello?
Mr. Johnson, this is Greg's cell phone calling.
My son, Greg?
Yeah, I'm with him all the time.
I know what's up.
Yeah? What's up?
Well, the other night, Greg was at this cat's crib, and he was smoking a blunt.
What? I'll put the fear into that kid?
No, I meant the other dude. Greg passed.
Still, if he was there, let me talk to Greg.
Hold up. G's taking a test right now. I'm turned off.
And then how can...
Try us back after school. That's prime time.
Talking. The anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Welcome back, everybody, to the crib. That was me coughing, by the way. I didn't know Logan had turned the mics on. I was clearing my throat.
Well, that's all right. We all have to do it.
That's, you know, it's common. Let's get to Barack Obama being endorsed by our enemies. Another one. Okay, let's just review real quick.
Right.
We've got Hugo Chavez, who said, Barack Obama make a very nice president. He talked that's
just like that, by the way.
Exactly.
But more Italian than Venezuela.
Well, yeah,
okay.
It was Mussolini. Anyways, he came back from the dead.
Yeah,
we had the leader of Hamas come out and say, I want Barack Obama to be president. Now, he denied that one. He's like, I don't want your endorsement. But it's still endorsed by an enemy.
A terrorist.
Regardless of the fact that if you deny it or not, it doesn't matter.
Means
why?
Appealing to terrorists.
Yeah, why are you getting endorsed by him? Next one in line, our buddy Fidel. Endorsed Barack Obama. Just what the presidential candidates have been waiting for. Cuba's Fidel Castro is weighing in on the campaign. He's dying, and he's like, I weigh on the campaign.
Yeah.
That's exactly like that, too.
Of course.
Everyone talks the same.
Big fat cigar in his
Everyone outside of the United States of America talks the same to me.
Right.
All in that accent. Mm-hmm. Asian, Mexican, Latino. I don't care what you are.
Right.
You talk
Mexican,
like
Latino. Isn't that like they basically
are,
the same?
They are. Hey, if I cannot interchange those words, if I cannot call a Latino a Mexican, they are not the same thing.
Okay.
And they get pissed at me if I do that.
But Japanese are the same thing as Chinese, let's be honest.
Well, if I encompass Asian, they are Asian.
There you go.
If we're talking, I'm not going to get into it. Anyways.
Okay.
The 81-year-old leader of the Cuban Revolution may have given up his position as the country's president, but he writes regularly for the Communist Party newspaper, which awesome, right? He calls Barack Obama, quote, the most advanced candidate in the race, which means the most communist.
Uh-huh.
That's the English translation as provided by the Associated Press and Reuters. They also translate it as the strongest candidate.
Right.
I feel no resentment towards him, for he is not responsible for the crimes perpetrated against Cuba and humanity, Castro wrote.
What crimes against Cuba?
He wouldn't elaborate on that.
Oh, of course.
Were I to defend him, I would do his adversaries an enormous favor. So he gets endorsed by Fidel Castro. So that's three big-time endorsements by our enemies.
Right.
If he is getting endorsed by our enemies, why would you want him anywhere near the White House?
Yeah, seriously.
This is a guy...
There's only one more to go, and that's Bin Laden.
We need Bin Laden to get on and endorse him.
Endorse.
I think he probably does.
Probably.
And as we'll talk about later...
Because, you know, he'll leave him alone.
Exactly.
He knows that Barack Obama will go in, pull out the troops, now they're happy, now they can plan their next attack.
Exactly. So, and well, we can also wait on, who else should we, let's see, the next person to endorse
Mahmoud
Barack Obama.
Ahmadinejad?
Yeah, I mean, he'll be next. I mean, he wants to talk to him. He's got to be on deck in the hole.
Tan Shui,
which is
that guy over there somewhere. I want to say he's in, what's the country that the lady's on house arrest? She was elected president in Myanmar.
So we got him, he can be coming up.
The guy from, Mugabe, Robert Mugabe.
Okay.
Another one.
Okay.
He's a bit of a terrorist.
So we got these new guys. Whoever the leader of Hezbollah is, I'm sure will be.
He's the guy that looks like Jack Black.
The guy who leads.
I think he looks like Jack Black.
Are you sure that's not the guy who is the al-Sadir, the guy from Iraq?
Positive.
Really? Because he looks like Jack Black too. Maybe they all just look like Jack Black.
Maybe Jack Black is a terrorist.
Maybe. Anyways, so...
he was in that House of Rock, or that School of Rock, where it's completely and totally destroyed the school's education system.
Oh, well, yeah, totally.
I think he's probably undermining.
But it was, you know, it was a great movie.
It was.
It was okay,
I
actually. I don't know.
I'm
a big fan of Jack Black movies.
It's kind of cool. I didn't like Nacho Libre.
I didn't see Nacho Libre.
Freaking stupid.
Really? I didn't see it.
Stupid.
Nacho Libre.
It's one of those movies. Just the colors even of the movie make you sick.
The colors.
Disgusting.
I mean, even look terrible.
I hate to analyze the movies that much.
That's a little weird.
Really disgusting.
I haven't seen that. I did see two movies I did recently see. The Great Debaters with Denzel Washington.
Okay.
That was about the black people, and they were debating, and they beat Harvard.
Uh-huh.
It was a very good movie. Then I saw...
Tell me about that other really weird one.
Lars and the Real Girl?
Yeah.
That was freaky.
Yeah, it sounds freaky.
It's about, this guy orders a plastic doll and he thinks that she is real.
Yeah.
And he's got mental problems, obviously. And
so
the whole town embraces him.
I've seen two movies recently. Real quick, Aliens vs. Predator was what I expected it to be. Alien which was Predator.
Oh, well, yeah.
And then the I saw Team America World Police.
Again?
Again.
Wow.
Which, if you haven't seen it...
I have not seen it.
You should.
I probably
it's
should.
It's pretty comical.
I hear things. I hear
it's
things.
It's different.
Different.
Anyway, back to where we were.
Totally totally on the subject.
Yeah.
So Barack Obama gets endorsed by Fidel Castro. Big fun for Obama. He's got to start deflecting these two now. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's enough for him to come out and say, I denounce these endorsements.
No.
Because that doesn't get to the core issue, which is...
Why are you being endorsed?
Yeah, why are you being endorsed by these crazy nutsos? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think that if he really wants to address this issue, he needs to come out and say, hey, look... I don't agree with the communist idea.
Right.
I don't like terrorists. I don't right. like dictators.
And he hasn't done that.
And he hasn't done that. So that leads me to believe that he is pretty socialist.
Yeah, he is.
So,
definitely.
You know, hey.
He is.
Yeah.
There's a reason.
It's true.
You know, there's a reason that Fidel Castro isn't endorsing John McCain.
Yeah, well, yeah.
John McCain and Castro, put those two in a ring and they're gonna go.
Ooh, ooh. Mm. Who would win in a fight?
John McCain. Give me a break.
Or Fidel
McCain.
Castro.
McCain, yeah.
McCain.
You'd
have to.
I don't know. He can barely move his arms.
But
you know that old. Fidel Castro would trip over that chair.
Yeah,
and just, you
that's
know, the
true.
Chair that got thrown he's up there.
But yeah, he is 81. McCain's got 9 years on him and military experience.
Right.
Of course, Castro, I'm sure, was in the military at some point.
Oh, probably not. Are you kidding me? He's probably in some rebellion. I think, yeah, he was. He started a rebellion in
he
Cuba.
He probably handled a gun before.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
So,
you know.
Well, no firearms allowed.
Right.
All hands.
Just
hands
full
combat.
Body contact.
Yep.
McCain.
Maybe that'll be our poll of the week.
Well, I think that at this stage in Fidel Castro's life, if he walks more than 10 feet, his bones just kind of fall apart.
That's true. So maybe, is that too easy of a fight, or should that be our poll of the week?
I think that's too easy.
That's a nomination for poll of the week.
Yeah.
We'll write that one down. That's our nomination.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what else we can come up with. All right. Next up, finally, someone has done a study on the media. And it's shown that McCain doesn't get treated very well.
Not at all.
Our poll of the week. Here we go. McCain or Obama, who wins in a fight?
That's just not fair. Of course Obama's going to win.
Why, because he's younger?
Yeah.
McCain's got that military experience, though. I mean,
so what? He doesn't have the muscles to use it.
Still. I mean, Barack Obama, sure, he can play basketball. And if we're saying who's going to win one-on-one
now,
in basketball.
A bowling match.
There we go. Hey, you can bowl as old as you want, or golf. I don't know that neither of them play golf. That's okay. That's our one nomination for poll of the week.
Okay.
McCain, Obama. Someone's phone's ringing. That's my phone. Anyways, can you just go grab it real quick? Let's see. You just calling me. McCain, Obama, who wins in a fight, eh?
McCain, Obama, who wins in a fight? Obama.
So, okay, my phone rang. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
We had to stop. This reminds me, actually.
Uh-huh.
God, we are so off topic now.
I know.
Like, if the rail's here, we're way over there. And I know you can't see that because we're audio. But
derailed.
Anyway, we have been derailed.
Very much so.
I was listening to episode one of The Current because I'm getting sound clips for our 100th episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I got the sound clip from...
Of The Current or of P-Radio Live?
Well, P-Radio Live.
Okay,
that's
what it used to be called. But it wasn't live, which is the funny
thing. It's true. And I got the sound clip... from when we did the Ebonics translation of The Crucible.
The Crucible, yeah.
And I was listening to it, and there was a part in there where I was looking for... We had the Ebonics translation on the computer, and we had the regular translation in the booklet we got at school. And I was looking for the regular words in the booklet, and we were literally stalling for 4 minutes because I couldn't find the original translation.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how The Crucible might be banned in schools and how you were against that.
Yeah.
And then you went on about how SpongeBob might be banned from TV. It was the most ridiculous thing ever. And that just totally reminded me of it.
Back in our... younger days of
we weren't experienced.
Professional broadcasting.
Yeah, exactly.
We
didn't know. Hey, what, you know?
Are you serious? I went on to SpongeBob?
You were like, and another thing I heard about being banned on television, SpongeBob, because he's gay or something.
Yeah,
I don't
the
know.
Catholic Church.
Yeah, the Catholic people.
Like
exactly, yeah. So anyways, back on topic.
It's getting warm in here.
You can open the door if you please. Okay.
That feels great.
All right. So the campaigns for president are in a part of a battle for control of the master narrative about character. Democrat Barack Obama has not enjoyed a better ride in the press than rival Hillary Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
According to a new study of primary coverage by the Pew Research Center's Project for Excellence in Journalism and the Joan Shorenstein Center of on Press, Politics, and Public Policy at Harvard University. Good Lord, what a name.
No kidding.
From January 1st, just before the Iowa caucuses, through March 9th, following the Texas and Ohio contests, the height of the primary season, the dominant personal narratives in the media about Obama and Clinton were almost identical in tone, and were both twice as positive as negative, according to the study, which examined the coverage of the candidates' character, history, leadership, and appeal. On the Republican side, John McCain, the candidate who quickly clinched his party's nomination, has had a harder time controlling his message in the press. Fully 57% of the narratives studied about him were critical in nature, though a look back through 2007 reveals the storyline about the Republican nominee has steadily improved with time. So over a 2-to-1 ratio is more positive than negative for Obama and Clinton. John McCain gets 57% negative.
Uh-huh.
In his press coverage.
It's because it's a liberal media.
Exactly. I mean, if there have been so many studies that have proved it. UCLA did a study that proved that the media is more liberal.
Hey, time out real quick. UCLA, they're under fire because they did two, I think it was liver, it could have been kidney transplants,
mm-hmm.
To people that were known members of the Japanese mob,
yeah.
The Yakuza.
Whoa.
While 102 people died in America on the list. And
wow.
The hospital received from both of them $100,000 checks, donations.
Jeez. Not her. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways,
go ahead.
They did a study, and they showed that the press is significantly more liberal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost unfair. Well, it is unfair.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you have NBC came out and said, we love Obama. You've got Keith Olbermann every night who loves Obama.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
It's just like this is journalism is supposed to be bipartisan. When you read mm-hmm. the news, you're supposed to do it in a bipartisan view. Right. This isn't just like commentary. This is how they report stories. Mm-hmm. And they significantly report stories more lean towards the Democratic Party than mm-hmm. the Republican Party. And it's a shame. But it's also good to see that the American people see through that a little bit mm-hmm. because – you know, they're still voting for Republicans.
Yeah.
They still voted for George Bush. So
well, you,
it's not the new yeah. the media is liberal. Yeah.
You look at the recent polls. I've seen several polls that put Barack Obama to 44%, McCain to 46%.
Yeah. In fact, I was just reading polls today that on I think they measured six issues.
Mm-hmm.
McCain is more trusted on four of the six issues than mm-hmm. Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And that included the war in Iraq. He was more trusted, 51-39, some crazy
Jeez.
Huge margin.
Jeez.
Because for obvious reasons. So, I mean, you do see that people, I think, mm-hmm. see through it to a certain extent,
mm-hmm.
Which is good.
Yeah.
You don't want people to be totally controlled by the media. Mm-hmm. Moving on.
Real quick. Channel 2, Fox 2 News. The Ghetto News. You know how they're having up here in Michigan, they're having the annual meeting where they go up to Mackinac Island, the Grand Hotel, and they meet and whatever. Well, I guess one thing that got brought up there a lot with Granholm was Kwame Kilpatrick being removed from office, you know, the mm-hmm. Detroit mayor. And Detroit's Channel 2 News, their question was, is what Kwame Kilpatrick did – no, it was well, I can't remember. Literally asked, was it wrong? Was it bad? It's like, what do you mean? It's perjury.
What portion of it? Cheating on his wife.
Uh-huh. Lying on under oath,
wasting $9 million uh-huh. to pay off people, or lying under oath. Which
you
part?
Know, I think all of those are positive.
Yeah, those would all be pretty bad.
What they come with the worst questions.
They just like they can't think. They just
it's really
they, like
stupid.
We have to have a question.
Like the one where Debbie Stabenow's husband got caught hiring a senator. Debbie Stabenow's husband got caught hiring a prostitute, and their question was: should prostitution be legalized?
Well,
what?
All right.
No,
never heard that one before.
Unbelievable.
Hey, guess what? Global. Oh well, this hits home here for us. Mm. Global warming is going to have dire effects on the Great Lakes.
Oh boy.
Uh oh. The world's going to burn. We're all going to die,
basically,
and we're going to eat each other. A report released Wednesday by an environmental group. And, of course, if it's an
environmental group,
we know it's bipartisan.
Yeah, anything by environmental groups, you know, they're not going to do a study that says, you know what, you know, it's all a lie. It's all a lie.
Wrong.
Of course, you know, they're going to you know, make it out to sound worse than it really is.
They bank off this stuff.
Yeah, it's how they get funding.
Yeah, anyways, they warn that unless Congress acts to curb global warming, Great Lakes water levels will drop up to 3 feet. Beaches will close more often because of urban and farm pollutants dragged in by fierce storms, and fish and animal populations will decline, damaging tourism and hunting. Wow.
Oh, no.
Jeez. The healing... Wow. Listen to the name of this environmental group. Mm-hmm. Like, if you heard this, you would automatically think liberal.
Mm-hmm.
The Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. Healing Our Waters. highlighted its concerns in advance of next week's expected debate in the U.S. Senate on global warming. Quote, delay in confronting global warming and the protection of the Great Lakes will only make the problems worse and the solutions more costly, concluded the report's authors, which included environmental scientist Don Scavia of the University of Michigan. It is imperative that lawmakers act now to stand up for the Great Lakes, a national resource that millions of people depend on for their drinking water, jobs, and way of life.
Okay, and even if it was a problem, what are the politicians going to do? You get the overnight fix, you're no longer allowed to use oil. What are they going to do?
And this is what they said. They say temperatures in the region, which is the Michigan region. By the way, we live here, so we know where the temperatures are. Will jump 5.4 to 10.8 degrees above what they were on typical days from 61 to 1990. Let me give you a little idea about what the typical day has been here in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
We've had two frost advisories in May.
Mm-hmm.
We actually had one on May 27th, I think.
Uh-huh.
One of the latest frost advisories in the history.
History of the entire state.
We got down to 34 degrees in the morning one morning, which was, I think, a record low.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been...
It's 60-something, 63 degrees today.
We haven't broken 80 yet.
Which is fall temperature.
So, yeah, where exactly?
We are dying out here.
We are dying.
It's so hot.
The funny thing is,
frost is. You know, I burnt my hand on it the other day.
It is because by the time I get up, I think the frost is gone. But there have been people who, they gotta get the frost off their car before going to work
in summer.
Now. In summer, so. It's May. That's not officially summer,
but damn near close.
I round up.
There you go. We'll round up.
But I love how they say temperatures will jump.
Mm-hmm.
Al Gore told us temperatures were jumping.
Yeah.
They were there. We're dying. And now it's like, oh, well, hold on. Yeah, they're going to jump.
Right.
You told us that 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 60 degrees.
When will they jump?
Yeah. Give me an estimated time of arrival, ETA.
These Democrats, these liberals are all about a timeline. For the war, what about a timeline for when we're going to melt?
Yeah.
Okay, can we get a timeline there?
And this is backwards to me, but according to global warming will cause the Great Lakes to drop in water level.
Mm-hmm.
They will drop by 1 foot in Lake Superior, 3 feet in Lake Michigan and Huron, 2.7 feet in Lake Erie, and 1.7 feet in Lake Ontario. Sure. More biological dead zones where plant and fish can't live will also happen.
You know how much room there is for fish in the Great Lakes?
Big.
It's an ocean if you put them together.
It is. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, great.
So that's...
The great frickin' seas. They're not, retention ponds that dry up. They'll be there for the next 2,000 years.
And so that's that. So we have all these crazy liberals talking about how the Great Lakes are going to be in dire need of change if we don't solve global warming. Which, by the way, what do you want us to do that's going to help it so quickly?
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing we can really do in a... I think it would take at least 10 years to do anything drastic because you can't just put a huge vacuum up in the ozone layer and suck out all the carbon dioxide.
That's a good idea.
Which would actually screw everything up.
It would.
That's how we retain heat.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that. I mean, you just can't.
I absolutely agree.
But one thing I noticed, Ann Arbor, all their bus systems have all switched to hybrid biodiesel. Which I don't have a – I mean, okay, fine. It's a waste of money for the government because it's probably cost a ton of money.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But
cheap technology.
It's almost smart for them because the money they're going to make back on gas from those things,
mm-hmm.
I mean, that's –
pay for itself eventually.
That's why you get a hybrid, not because, oh, I'm saving the earth.
Yeah,
because you're not.
You're not.
Yeah.
I have no problem with you saving some money.
Yeah. You get it because you save on gas now.
Yeah.
Because the cheapest I've seen is $3.99.
You have more money to spend elsewhere to put into the economy.
Exactly.
All right? I have no problem with that. But don't think that if you buy a Prius that, your trees are going to pop up all over your front yard and little butterflies are going to land on your shoulder and smile at you and tickle your nose. That's stupid.
Yep. Hey, guess what? Conservative grassroots group grassfire.org wants people to waste as much energy as possible on June 12th by, quote, hosting a barbecue, going for a drive, watching television, leaving just a few lights on, or even smoking a few cigars. The point the group wants to help Americans break free from the carbon footprint guilt by being imposed by climate alarmists, which is a great idea. I mean, we've gotten to the point where we're all so worried about what lights we have on and we keep our TV on too long.
I don't. My computer's on 24 hours a day.
Care less. All right, you know what? If I turn my computer, it was funny actually. One of my teachers in school said that he turned his printer off at night to save energy. I said, you know,
the amount of energy that thing is just sucking up. You know, I said the entire power plant is just going straight to that printer.
I said, you know, that thing probably takes, even when it's printing something, maybe 10 watts of power. Yeah. A light bulb is six times worse than that, and you're turning that off at night. Anything I can do? No, that doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, we've been guilted into this.
Yeah, your bill might go from, I don't know, it's a fraction of a cent.
Yeah.
You know, what does it matter?
Grassfire.org says it's skeptical over claims that man-made sources of carbon dioxide emissions from automobile exhausts to manufacturing plants are raising the Earth's temperature at a dangerous rate. Theories about global warming were highlighted by former Vice President Al Gore's 06 film, An Inconvenient Truth.
And so, explained better by our PowerPoint, A Convenient Lie.
Which we should tape and put that on the internet. We really should. June 12th, by the way, folks, is a Thursday. So June 12th, keep your computers on, turn every flippin' light on in the house, and go outside and smoke some cigars.
Oh, yeah.
Just turn the car on in the driveway.
Fire up the grill for the hell of it.
Yeah.
I don't see anything wrong with that.
That's what I'm doing June 12th.
Yeah.
If it's nice outside, keep everything on. Turn every light in the house. That's what we're doing.
Run the water just to waste it.
Yep. Yep. Screwing the earth over.
Yeah.
Maybe if anything, this day will prove that we should just say, let's try to speed up the process just to prove that it's not going to happen.
Right.
If we accelerate the process and nothing happens, that just proves it.
Uh-huh. Hey, we got a great story here, and this one excited me when I saw it. I'll let Jacob go over the details, but basically what it is that Germany has developed a let's go green bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
This ties perfectly into the idea of carbon footprint guilt. New explosives could be more powerful and safer to handle than TNT and other conventional explosives, and would also be more environmentally friendly.
Oh, now they're cheaper. Or I'm sorry, they're not cheaper. They're safer. They're bigger, and they're good for the environment. But we spend 10 times as much on them.
Yep.
It's opportunity cost. What do you give up to give one thing? It doesn't make sense.
TNT, RDX, and other explosives commonly used in military and industrial applications often generate toxic gases upon detonation that pollute the environment.
Right.
Hold on.
Right.
When you detonate a bomb, the idea is to blow shit up.
Right.
As much shit as you can.
Oh, yeah.
Kill everything.
Yep.
Trees, bushes, people, who
homes,
cares?
Whatever. It's a bomb.
So when you're detonating a bomb and you're killing thousands of people, you're worried about polluting the environment?
I mean, it's almost an insult. We don't care that we kill 10,000 people, but
streets.
That air, you know?
You just blew up a 10-foot crater in the earth, and you're worried about polluting the earth with carbon dioxide and a bomb?
Stupid.
They also
leave it to the Germans.
Of course.
The Germans, just for such a you know, prowess in military history. Oh, they've only lost two world wars, and you know, let the Americans with big bombs see how it's done. Not your little, we're gonna save the flower bomb. Who cares? It's stupid.
It's funny because I mean, this couldn't just be like one crazy person. This had to have been a ton of them because
it's a government project.
Yeah, this guy sat down in the meeting and said, "Okay, I got a great idea.
Uh-huh.
A bomb that doesn't give off CO2."
And Angela Merkel goes,
God.
"Oh boy." That's a good one.
That's amazing.
We've got to have it. And Angela Merkel, by the way, the president of Germany, the first female president.
Really?
Yep.
Didn't know that.
Yep.
Anyways,
she's a scientist. Wasn't even a politician.
Wow. So she would know about this kind of thing. To make safer, more environmentally friendly explosives,
the word friendly.
Friendly explosives.
Jumbo shrimp. It's
exactly.
Friendly explosives.
Scientists in Germany turned to a recently explored class of materials called tetrazoles. These derive most of their explosive energy from nitrogen instead of carbon, as TNT and others do. Tiny bombs were made from two promising tetrazoles, which sounds like an Italian form of pizza.
Pasta.
With the
tetrazole, please.
Oh, speaking of which, listen to the sentence. Tiny bombs were made from two promising tetrazoles with the alphabet soup names of of HBT and G2ZT. These materials proved. What do you mean, alphabet soup? Would they just like pour a bowl of alphabet soup
like,
and just be like, all right, HBT?
You know, lift up the spoon. This one works.
That's bad.
Jeez.
These materials proved less apt to explode accidentally than conventional explosives. So thank you, Germany, for protecting our environment from explosive.
And next time we're in a world war, we'll show you what the big bombs look like.
Yeah.
The Moabs, the mother of all bombs.
Hey, but thank you. When next time you blow us or try to blow us up, hey, you're not going to kill our trees.
Yeah.
You're not going to kill
the
earth.
I do thank you for that.
Thank you so much.
We'll sack Berlin.
Yes. All right, hey, we got to hit a quick commercial break. We're going to come back from the commercial break. We're going to talk about sound clip of the week. A woman makes a comparison to Al-Qaeda, one of the best comparisons
ever.
And then we've also got Al-Qaeda, and a big section about Al-Qaeda, and a section about a dumb Democrat. What else is new? Coming up after the break.
This is The Current. Commerce states when signage is part of overall marketing, the increase in revenue is profound. Signage is the least expensive yet most cost-effective form of advertising, and you invest just once. The LED Sign Company of Texas is number one in sales among more than 500 sign companies nationwide, and our last 10 testimonials averaged 45.6% in sales increases. To see real case studies and testimonials, visit us at valueofsigns.com.
Hello, everybody. This is Jacob from The Current Podcast, and I'm here to tell you that we're finally going to do it. The Current Podcast special, Teens in Politics, will finally be premiering on Thursday, June 12th, after much waiting on your part. We had a lot of scheduling conflicts with our panelists, but on June 12th, we'll be joined by panelists Drew Jurgensen, Taylor France, Andrew Schantz, and Jacob Izzavati for an hour and a half long discussion about teens and their role in politics. It'll be awesome and fun. Join us Thursday, June 12th.
If you aren't using search engine marketing to generate new business, you're losing sales to the competition. WPromote helps businesses like yours reach people who are searching for your products and services online. Call a WPromote marketing specialist today at 1-800-413-1605 or find out more about WPromote search engine marketing for your business at WPromote.com/radio. That's WPromote.com/radio.
WPromote.com/radio.
Sunday dinner. It was more than sitting down to one of Grandma's great recipes. Sunday dinner was an all-day event. A day of football and pickup games in the backyard. A day where the more the merrier was the rule. A day filled with family and friends and more than a few laughs. Sunday dinner topped off the most special day of the week. And no one remembers Sundays better than we do here in Michigan's Saginaw Valley. From cultural arts to down-home entertainment, championship golf courses to the Midwest's best shopping, Michigan's Saginaw Valley serves up something special for everyone. So get the boys together to play a round or three, call the girls to do some serious shopping, or just pile the kids in the car and follow the smell of Grandma's chicken. Because doing Sunday dinner upright is pure Michigan. Your trip begins at Michigan.org.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Current Podcast. Episode 98, June 1st, 2008. Hey, while we're on it, let's just talk real quick about our schedule that we're going to have to do coming up here.
Certainly.
It gets confusing. It gets confusing, folks.
It can. But we're here to help you.
We are here to help. So, this is our last episode for just under a month. That's the May calendar.
Yeah, I noticed that.
This is our last episode for just under a month. We're going to have our next episode 99 on June 25th, which I know is a long way off, and you're going to miss us. But Logan will be out of town. I'll be out of town. We got a lot of scheduling conflicts, so you know that's that. So, but we are going to have election updates. I'll be doing election updates the 6th, 7th, 14th from Ohio, 18th, and 22nd. So we got quite a bit there. I'll be doing video updates the 9th, 11th, 13th, 19th, and 17th. And then we've also got the Current Podcast Teens and Politics episode premiering the June 12th. So quite a bit going on there. So you're going to have your fix between now and June 25th. You're not going to be, all alone.
Right.
We've got stuff for you. So don't worry. And then we're going to have our live 3-hour episode for the 100th episode. June, we haven't settled on a day quite yet.
Right,
June 7th-ish.
Around there.
Somewhere in there.
It'll be big.
Big. Muy grande. All right, so moving on here. So let me give you the background for our sound clip of the week.
Right.
And it's a terrible story. Mm-hmm. This woman has a kid, and she has him in kindergarten, and he has autism. Mm-hmm. And so the teacher of the kindergarten class, for some reason or another, brings the kid up to the front of the class and says, I want everyone to tell me, the kid's name's Alex, I want everyone to tell me what you don't like about Alex. And so one by one, they say, we don't like this about Alex, we don't like that about Alex. And then she said, okay, we're going to vote. How many of you want Alex to stay in the class? And by a vote of 14-2, they voted Alex out of the class.
Unbelievable.
So he went down to the office and whatever. So the mom, of course, was outraged.
Of course.
She goes on CBS Morning News and talks about the situation. And I was all with her until she references Al-Qaeda. Because to me, Al-Qaeda and your kid getting kicked out of class...
a little different.
Apples and oranges. So here's the clip.
Well, actually, the last conversation I had with the principal of the school was the teacher doesn't feel like she did anything wrong. And they're just glad that there's no criminal charges being pressed against her. And you know what? There are plenty of people who don't think what they're doing is wrong. Al-Qaeda, for one.
Well,
there
hang
are
on a second. Let's not go there. But you know what?
So Al-Qaeda.
A little gratuitous.
Al-Qaeda.
Okay. Al-Qaeda, principal of my school.
That's jumping the gun a little bit, okay?
Just a tad. Just a tad.
No, I'm not at all defending the school. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous. I'd fire the teacher. It's stupid. You can't treat students like that.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, she's been, I mean, the teacher has been disciplined, which I don't know what the hell that means.
Might be a slap on
but anyways,
the face,
hey, speaking of Al-Qaeda, this is why I put this here. Al-Qaeda has a new video. What else is new? They love making videos.
They do.
They're like Universal Studios. And every time...
I always love what they put in the background of the movies, too.
Bookcase.
Some random green screen bookcase.
The Al-Qaeda Public Library is where we tape our latest video update.
Now, at most libraries, you get a 25-cent fine. There, they just chop your hand off or something like that.
You bring it in late.
blow themselves up in your presence.
I would love to see what they put in the background of their next video.
I would, too.
It's just like Golden Gate Bridge. Yeah. Look where we are. Come find us. But anyways,
what was it? The three trolls under the bridge was the old fairy tale or something like that.
They got their hands on a green screen and they just cannot stop using it.
I love it.
I don't know where they got it either.
It makes them feel important.
Does Al Qaeda buy a green screen for their?
Well, they probably didn't buy it. They probably stole it.
Probably, but they ordered it off the internet. Mailing address: Osama bin Laden.
Cave 3 Boulevard.
UPS delivers there. What can Brown do for you?
Overnight it, damn it!
I want it tomorrow. Okay. Anyways. So, intelligence and law enforcement sources tell ABC News they are expecting Al-Qaeda supporters will post a new video on the internet in the next 24 hours, calling for what one source said is jihadists to use biological, chemical, and nuclear weapons to attack the West. There have been several reports that Al-Qaeda will release a new message calling for the use of WMDs against civilians, FBI spokesman Richard Colotto told ABC News in an email. So, Al-Qaeda is getting ready to use WMDs against the West, or so they say. You know...
I doubt they have them.
Yeah, this is a group that talks
at
tough.
At least I doubt they have nuclear. I guarantee they don't have nuclear.
No.
Chemical's a possibility. They don't have biological. No. Those are too advanced.
I think that, they obviously talk tough to, effort to scare you.
Now, let me just highlight, if I'm the president of the United States and they launch chemical, nuclear, biological weapon at us, gloves are off. Okay?
Oh, they're going down.
I'm not playing Mr. Nice Guy anymore. And civilians are not, you know, we're not, what was it Sun Tzu said? Unethical wars have to be fought unethically.
Yeah.
Okay? I light up the Middle East with every goddamn nuke in our arsenal.
That'd be sweet.
You launch them into the Hindu Kush Mountains. They're in there somewhere.
Yeah.
All right? You flatten that mountain range. You leveled the Middle East. You can't play Mr. Nice Guy with these people anymore.
And the FBI says they don't have any specifics of a plot. They don't know anything like that. But. Yeah. You know, this isn't abnormal for them. It's just to show them, hey, you know, I think people kind of forget. Kind of goes to the side of their mind if they don't release a video every, like, so often. Right. It's kind of like Ben Affleck. People forget he's around unless he releases a new movie every year. So, you know, that's what it is. So that they just like to come, you know, hey, we're going to use WMDs at you. And, you know, they're probably not.
Right.
Because... you know, why? How are they going to do it? I mean, look at the attacks they've done.
Right.
You know, they had a bomb in a truck, of course, you know, the 9/11 and the planes.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have these huge advancements because they're not a government.
Well,
they're not a country.
They're not smart either. I mean, come on, they ride camels.
Well, they're somewhat smart. They've got some intelligence. There's someone in there that's got some grain of intelligence to plot something like
9/11. Yeah, but not a grain enough of an intelligence to build or acquire biological, nuclear, chemical weapons,
but
in my own opinion.
Definitely. All right,
but if they do, I nuke the entire Middle East. Got to clear them out. I'm sorry. It's just the way it works. We've gone in. We've tried to do it the easy way. We've met opposition there and here at home, which is stupid. You can't play Mr. Nice Guy.
And then we set up Verizon Wireless Field.
You can't do what some... Well, you got to understand. You got to learn why they don't like us.
Yeah.
They don't like us because we're different.
Yeah. I don't even care.
So blow them up.
Yeah, they're okay. Blowing us up. I don't care why they don't like us. Kill them.
Yeah. I mean, it's logical. It's war.
But the good news is that according to the U.S., which mm-hmm. is the country that we live in,
right.
In case you didn't know, uh-huh. we have had big gains against Al-Qaeda to the point where they're almost defeated.
Mm-hmm.
Less than a year after his agency warned of new threats from a resurgent Al-Qaeda, CIA mm-hmm. Director Michael Hayden now portrays the terrorist movement as essentially defeated in Iraq and Saudi Arabia and on the defensive throughout much of the rest of the world, mm-hmm. including in its presumed haven along the Afghan-Pakistan border.
Hindu Kush Mountains.
In a strikingly upbeat assessment, the CIA chief cited major gains against Al-Qaeda's allies in the Middle East and an increasingly successful campaign to destabilize the group's core leadership. While cautioning that Al-Qaeda remains a serious threat, Hayden said Osama bin Laden is losing the battle for hearts and minds in the Islamic world and has largely forfeited his ability to exploit the Iraq war to recruit adherents.
We are on the road to victory.
Yeah. And guess what? I mean,
yes.
This people always say, well, the Iraq war isn't helping our fight against Al-Qaeda. Barack Obama is a big proponent of that, but we have to pull out of Iraq to go concentrate in Afghanistan. Hey, look, we are magnetizing them mm-hmm. to come to Iraq
yes.
and
good.
Killing them.
Good. Good.
They're defeated yeah. in Iraq. They're mm-hmm. defeated in Saudi Arabia.
Yep.
They're on the defensive in the Afghan-Pakistan border. It's working perfectly. Strategy worked.
It works like a rat killer. All right,
yeah.
The rats are all over the place. You put one of those smelly rat things.
Yes.
They go up to it. They sniff it.
Yes.
And they die.
Yes.
Okay? We go there. They're drawn to us because they oppose us, but they're not as good as us. So when they oppose us, they die.
Yeah.
We kill them.
Yeah.
Okay?
What happened when we went to Afghanistan? We went to Afghanistan
mm-hmm.
originally.
Right,
and
right.
we did a couple things there, but mm-hmm. mainly they scattered. They ran away.
They
Where did.
Did
they go? Saudi Arabia. They went to Iraq. They scattered around. Of course, to Iraq. Mm-hmm. Saddam Hussein, care
yeah.
less. So what do we have to do? Go into Iraq,
mm-hmm.
magnetize them there,
oh, yeah.
and boom, kill them.
Yeah.
And while we stay in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Notice what we're doing.
Or is working.
It's very different from most other wars we've ever been in. We didn't go in, move to one place, attack, then move to another, attack, move to another. We stayed in one place.
Mm-hmm.
Went on the defensive, set up our barricades, let them come to us. And they're stupid enough to do that. And when they do it, they die. We kill them. It's
yes.
wonderful. It's beautiful, really.
It works. It's magic.
It is
magic. Not next
literally. Next we'll pull a rabbit out of a hat or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, sure.
Yeah,
just pull a gun out of a hat.
I used to have a rabbit.
Okay.
Mr. Roy Borland took it.
What?
We gave it,
oh,
well,
you
we
sold
gave it
this.
To him.
Okay.
No, just gave it to him. I didn't want to
oh.
take care of it.
I had a rabbit, and it died.
Well, my rabbit.
End of story.
okay.
It was a very, very...
Oh, you were telling me about that rabbit.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
we've
yeah,
gone through that before.
That's a story. That's a story, let me tell you.
It's a really depressing story that
depressing
I don't want to share
story.
With people. I'll cry. I'm kidding. meanwhile, so we have Al-Qaeda on the defensive, and people might say, well, this is over, the war on terror is over. No. To think that Al-Qaeda is the only terrorist group in the world that's
right.
threatening us is ignorant.
Right.
There are plenty.
Mm-hmm.
And
one of them
is Hezbollah. And speaking of which, Michael Chertoff, the Homeland Security Director, warned Thursday that the radical Islamic group Hezbollah, quote, makes Al-Qaeda look like a minor league team, end quote, and poses the greatest threat to national security. Someone described Hezbollah like the A-team of terrorists in terms of capabilities, in terms of range of weapons they have, in terms
mm-hmm.
of internal discipline.
But even there, they got those... Remember when Hezbollah and Israel were going at and Hezbollah, what do they call them, Katusha rockets or something like
yeah.
that? I mean, they were like the most inaccurate piece of crap thing.
Yeah.
So you kind of like fire it straight, and it might go 20 degrees to the right, but hell, it's close enough.
Close enough, we kill somebody.
There
but no, Hezbollah. I mean, they are a
they're big.
Well, they're big because
yeah. they own the
country.
Yeah, Lebanon.
It's easy to do when you own a country.
Yeah, the Lebanese government official government is
kind
of like, hey, Hezbollah, you can't do that. And they're like, oh yes, we can. They're like, okay,
sounds good.
Fine, whatever. Sounds good.
It's like tough discipline
okay.
until
yeah.
they retaliate and then
right.
they back down.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's kind of how we've been with terrorism throughout
yeah.
our entire time. We've like Al Qaeda, you cannot attack us. You attack us, okay, yeah, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they got to the point of 9/11.
Right.
We never retaliated before
right. Right.
in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah. Well, look at the presidents you had.
Carter.
You had Clinton.
Well, Carter, yeah. Carter waited,
Carter was
sat on his hands when
yeah.
our hostages were taken
yeah.
in Iran,
yeah.
and then he goes over there to rescue them, and it fails miserably.
Yeah. Leave it to a peanut farmer.
yeah, exactly. Was he a peanut farmer?
Yeah, he was a peanut farmer.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he started Habitat for Humanity, so
yeah.
to build houses for people. That's okay.
Out of peanut shells, I'm sure.
It's kind of nice. And then we had Clinton, and he was just didn't do much anything with that.
He was too busy with Monica, you know? Yeah, exactly.
He had other things on his mind.
Getting a little foreign policy experience.
He had two attacks under his regime.
Yeah.
And didn't retaliate any of them. You know,
well, he didn't do anything in Bosnia.
Somalia. Why do I think Bosnia?
Oh, he did play.
Oh, Bosnia, because Clinton Hillary Clinton with the trip.
Well, yeah, but she almost died over
there. Yeah, sniper fire.
Crazy sniper fire.
But no, Clinton was attacked. In 1993, when the World Trade Centers were bombed,
what did he do?
He prosecuted the offenders. Ooh. Yeah. Scary. Slap on the wrist.
We're going to send you to a prison.
These people are willing to blow themselves up to kill us, and you're sending them to prison, and you think that's going to lay the gauntlet? Yeah, no. That's what it's really been. Mm-hmm. And Hezbollah's attacked us before, and, I mean, there's... Part of this war on terror is certainly against them, certainly not as hard as against Al-Qaeda, but in some capacities.
I was watching a movie the other day with John Travolta, and it was he played the character of the leader of a rebellion group who goes against the U.S. government, but in order to better protect the U.S., it is when terrorists attack us, we will attack them 10 times worse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a theory, you know, of making them so afraid to do anything to us. It was a really good... And then, of course, you know, the guy had to stop him. It's like, hey, that's a good idea. I like that.
No, no kidding.
Okay. You know, if they kill 10 people, we'll kill 100.
Yeah.
I have to get the name of it. It came out shortly after 9/11.
Oh, really?
That, so.
Wow. I want to talk about this story real quick because it is funny. This Democratic Congresswoman, Laura Richardson...
Forgot how to pay her bills.
Yeah, defaulted on her mortgage 3 times.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, lends her campaign $77,000.
Right.
And we say that people who default on their mortgages are the people who don't know how to spend, they don't know their limits, et cetera, et cetera, which is true. It's not just these people, they can't afford the house. Well, they shouldn't have bought the house that was $150,000.
They shouldn't have bought the house that was $150,000, and they shouldn't have bought 4 cars.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be logical.
You know your limits.
You make $50,000 a year, so don't buy a $35,000 car.
Mm-hmm. So when you're this woman and you default on your mortgage 3 times, you don't lend your campaign $77,000 knowing you can't afford. And she's a congresswoman. She doesn't get paid, peanuts.
Right.
She gets paid $169,000 a year.
Yeah.
So I wonder what her house, how much was her house? Let's see. I don't know. It probably says somewhere in here.
That's probably ridiculous.
Oh, yes. She built a house that cost $535,000, walked away from the $535,000 mortgage on the property. She denied the charges, and then on May 22nd, evidence piled on that contradicted her denial. Moreover, we learned that she didn't bother to pay utility fees and property taxes on the house. On top of that, the Daily Breeze confirmed that she did, in fact, receive a per diem housing allowance from the California state government. So... she walks away on a $535,000 mortgage. Yeah. For one, if you're making $169,000
a
year...
There's no reason you shouldn't be paying your bills.
That plus $535,000 is probably a little outside of your range. I want to bring it down a little bit, I'd imagine.
Potential. I don't know.
You could
do it.
In California, though, on top of taxes and stuff like that, you got to factor in that kind of stuff. You probably want a little lower, especially if you're a congresswoman living in Washington and you're not going to live there all the time. I don't know what kind of family she has.
The other thing is that your income depends on your reelection.
That's true.
That's another big
reason. Which is why she gave her campaign $77,000 and walked away from mortgages. Meanwhile, she's in support of a bill that would bail people out of their mortgages. Gee, I wonder why.
Mm-hmm.
Because she would be the beneficiary of that bill.
Right.
Which is a ridiculous bill because the majority of people who are in a mortgage crisis like this are there because they don't know how to spend their money.
Yeah.
They don't know that if you make... you know, $60,000 a year, you shouldn't be buying a $300,000 house.
Right. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't fit and connect. Mm-hmm. You should buy an apartment. Yep. Nice. Maybe a condo. Mm-hmm. Condos are nice.
Better a small house, $120,000,
$150,000
house.
Not very hard at all. Especially in this market, housing prices are plummeting.
Filthy cheap.
So. Filthy. Or, you can buy a foreclosed house.
There you go.
You can buy an auctioned foreclosed house.
Mm-hmm.
So she makes $169,000 a year. As a member of the assembly, she made about $116,000 plus a per diem for living expenses in Sacramento. So she gets money to live in there.
Yeah.
They get that. City Council says, hey, here's some money you can live. Mm-hmm. She still can't figure out a way to pay her mortgage three times.
Well, she's stupid.
She is stupid.
And these people in California elect her into office.
And she has begun to pay down her congressional campaign debt and repaid herself $18,000 of the $77,500 in personal loans. She still owes $220,000 to her campaign consultant, which is unusual for a successful campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And she owes 330, $330,000 overall to her campaign because she's in debt up to her eyeballs in her campaign. And this is a woman who is in Congress, by the way, voting on budget in Congress.
Yeah, there you go. Yes.
This is the woman I want drafting our budget. Yeah. Right here.
I mean, that's like putting the senator that was, you know, that was kicked out of the military on the Armed Service Committee. You don't do it.
You just don't.
If she doesn't know how to, you know, she can't manage her own fiscal policy, much less the state of California and the national government. That's ridiculous. Democrats are stupid.
Stupid.
Moral of the story.
We're going to take one last quick commercial break. We're going to come back and talk about the Amazon tribe that has not been contacted ever.
The other day.
Well, they were not contacted.
I guess they're not contacted. They were videotaped.
They were videotaped.
Pictured.
Pictured. Photographed.
Yes.
And it's some crazy stuff, and I just can't even fathom it. We'll talk about that after the break.
The 2008 presidential race is heating up. Don't let the media speak for you. Make your own statement with political apparel from conservativebuys.com. They have the largest selection of t-shirts, bumper stickers, and political gifts on the net, including anti-Hillary, illegal immigration, and pro-Second Amendment gear. conservativebuys.com also offers election gear featuring Rudy Giuliani, Mitt Romney, and more. And up to 20% of all proceeds go to support charities and conservative causes. Save $5 off a purchase of $20 or more. conservativebuys.com.
Hey, this is your kid's MP3 player. That's right, I can talk. You ever check out what your kid's listening to? I mean, blogs and podcasts and stuff like that. People are talking about everything you can imagine out there, and a lot of times there's drugs involved. I heard this one cat say weed makes you smarter because it makes your brain bigger. Now, you don't want your kid listening to fools like that. Come on now. I'm just saying that maybe talk to your kid and check out what he's loading up. Let him know you care, and maybe he'll think twice about drugs.
Listening, the anti-drug. Learn more at theantidrug.com. Sponsored by the ONDCP and the Partnership for a Drug-Free America.
Are you looking for a place where you can discuss the current events that happened this week? A place where you can contribute your thoughts, perhaps talk to others with common insight? Cheap Books offers a free online discussion forum where people can gather to discuss these issues and seek further information from the community. The free public discussion forums at cheapbooks.com. Everything's cheap at cheapbooks.com.
Lights, camera, clues. It's time for the next book in the hit teen series, The Hollywood Sisters. The reviews are in. Humor abounds in this story of smooth detective work, says Midwest Book Review. Justine Magazine says, follow this wild ride complete with star sightings, embarrassing moments, and celebrity lives, Hollywood style. Get your copy of The Hollywood Sisters by Mary Wilcox at Borders or wherever books are sold.
Introducing Rick Devin's Old School, hits of the 60s and 70s. Featuring Chet McCracken, formerly of the Doobie Brothers, and Chris Pinnock, formerly of Chicago. CDs and downloads are now available through Amazon.com, Apple iTunes, and more. For more information about Rick Devin's Old School hits of the 60s and 70s, visit RickDevin.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the current episode 98, June 1st, 2008.
It is.
Presidential fact of the day, moving on to Thomas Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Jefferson was fond of greeting ambassadors in his pajamas, a practice most of them found appalling.
Rightfully so.
I find kind of cool.
You know, back then, it wasn't a two-hour plane ride, either.
That's true.
A trip across a boat, you finally get there, and the guy meets you in pajamas?
I'd be a little disappointed. I'll concede to that. Yeah. Hey, our last story of the day. This is crazy nutso, and it's something that is just almost hard to fathom.
It is.
There's been these dramatic photographs that have come out of this unfound Amazon Indians that have literally not been contacted. These are people who are living in straw huts still, paint themselves red and black, and are shooting arrows at the helicopter that came by and took pictures of them. I mean, it's crazy to think that there are people out there. We are sitting – let me highlight this real quick.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting here today. We have three computers running to run this show. We got the one screen right here, flat panel screen.
Right, yeah.
And we've got two laptops, all right? And there are people living out in the Amazon forest who are literally dressing in his cloth bottoms and are living in straw huts, and they don't know they can do otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
That is crazy.
Now, here's a poll of the week potential.
Okay.
Should we contact them?
That's a good question. And I think they're debating that in Brazil.
Contacted?
Should we contact?
I think we should go in there and be like, hey, what's up? And they wouldn't understand that, obviously, but we could help to civilize them.
Yeah.
They're clearly living dirty, meaningless
lives.
Oh,
yeah, look at the pictures.
I mean, yeah, they're in mud.
Yeah.
But at the same time, are they content with that? Are they content with dirt and mud? Because I sure as hell wouldn't be.
How do you contact these people? Where is there a translator?
Well, I imagine they probably
Amazon Indian.
Some, you know. I'm sure somebody knows the native language. Like the Mande tribes don't use technology at all.
Yeah.
You know, they've been well contacted. But, you know, Swahili, you know.
Yeah.
Their little, you know, chirping, whatever they do. You know, people can speak that.
Yeah.
So I'd imagine that there are plenty of people in Brazil that can speak, you know, ancient dialects.
But this is crazy to think
Like American Indians. A lot of them, you know, Navajo. People still speak Navajo.
I think we should go in there and just scare the living snot out of them. No, not with guns. No, not with guns.
Fire guns up in the air.
With technology.
Oh.
Have cameras and video cameras and laptops with a webcam on so they can see themselves.
You know what would get them?
What?
A lighter.
Yep, a lighter. Yeah, we're like, okay, go make fire. And they're like with the twigs. And,
yeah.
There you go. I mean, we could literally civilize these people pretty quick because of the stuff.
But there's the thing. If you go to civil, do they attack you?
Probably.
Hey, see, that's why you bring guns.
I'm saying you bring guns. You might not need to use them. I mean, the helicopter came by and picture.
And they were shooting
them. Yeah, the picture here is they're shooting arrows. With arrows.
But then again, if I've never seen technology before and this massive bird making this strange noise just kind of sitting there in the air. With flashes.
Yeah, I'd be pretty scared shitless.
I'd be pretty scared, too.
I don't know if I'd shoot with an arrow.
That would probably be my first reaction.
Really? I don't know.
I've never seen a bear before, but if one's right above me, I'm going to do whatever I can to, you know,
attack
it.
That's because you know the bear is going to attack
true.
You. I don't think the helicopter was threatening. It was just kind of standing
there.
Well,
okay, well, what do you do if you see an alien?
Flying there.
What do you do if you see an alien hovering above you and you have a gun in your hand? I'm going to start firing at it.
Have you ever seen Close Encounters of the Third Kind?
I know, no, but I heard it's a great movie. I have seen Independence Day.
They can be nice aliens. Like in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, they're nice aliens.
When Santa Claus conquers the Martians.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there was one mean alien in that movie.
Yeah, there was.
But, you know, speaking of which, they discovered ice on, more than what they think is ice on Mars.
Ooh.
Possibly, and now they're going to test it. Actually, I think they landed on it, conveniently. And
we just so happen to land on ice.
And they're going to test it for some chemicals that would prove life, I guess. I don't know.
Wow.
I just think it's a whole waste of money. I mean, we send this robot to Mars to search for water.
Mm-hmm.
And then a week or two later, we blast off Discovery to go to the space station to unclog the toilet.
Yeah.
I mean, how much money are we spending on this program? Literally, the toilet is clogged in the space station. They're like, please get so we're going to spend millions and millions of dollars to unclog the toilet.
Yeah.
Do they have plungers up there or something? Anything?
Plunger.
I mean, come on. Do we really
think about that one?
That's ridiculous.
Well, I don't know. How does no gravity... You see, what I would do is I would design a special spacesuit.
Yeah.
One that you just... You go out in space.
You shit.
Go to the bathroom. And then you seal one part off and open up another seal and it just floats away into space. That way you're sealed, airtight all the time. And then you just go back in. You reuse it.
The environmentalists would have a field day. Be like, you cannot poop out into space.
You cannot poop in space.
That is detrimental to the environment.
It's spatial warming.
It is spatial warming. It is getting too warm in space, and we have got to do something about it.
No, I know there's an absolute zero in space, which is, negative 278 degrees, which they call the no temperature. But how could no temperature be negative 278?
Don't ask questions.
Doesn't make sense. But, you know, hey, I don't see why not.
I think we should let off feces and poop and all sorts of fun things.
Absolutely.
Why the heck not, right?
Oh, there's our cue.
And that does it for this episode of The Current, episode 98, June 1st, 2008.
Uh-huh.
I hope you all had a wonderful ride on the show. Remember, you're going to be a while to hear us both again.
Yeah.
June 25th, episode 99, but we have election updates and video updates and The Current podcast, Teens and Politics special, all sorts of things in between there. So, have patience, Christ Jesus.
Seriously, get off our back.
No kidding. I'm Jacob Otter.
And I am Logan Sparrow.
Don't forget to buy your arugula in Whole Foods. Thank you, Barack Obama, for reminding us how much it cost. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, everybody.